IP. IP.
IP.
IP.
IP.
IP.
IP.
IP.
IP.
Welcome to IP Series, home to all things IP related, where I give you the stories, tips, and implications to business and creative decision concerning your intangible assets with real life case study. I am your host, Rita Anwori Chinda. Subscribe and turn on your notification so you don't miss an episode. Cheers, guys. Hello and welcome to episode 115, where I will be discussing everything related to coffee and businesses. If you're a coffee lover, you probably have like your favorite brand of coffee. I'm not a coffee lover, but I can tolerate the smell. Now, have you ever wondered how these coffee brands protect their identity, their reputation, especially in an environment that is very competitive? I mean, I would say that the coffee industry in Nigeria is still growing, but look at it from the international perspective now. How do coffee brand owners prevent other people from copying or stealing their business ideas, their products, names, and everything affiliated with their brands? How do they now ensure that their customers get the authentic and original quality they expect and deserve? Like, seriously, how many consumers can actually detect that, oh, this coffee is not the original one and this coffee is original? I mean, you walk into a supermarket or you go to your nearest store and you know you just want to get coffee and you just pick up any coffee brand there that you see and you get home. I guess maybe the test might give it away. I don't know, I'm just saying. But you know what we do here is basically just create awareness for business owners, creatives, inventors. So today's conversation is strictly for those within the coffee industry. So October 1st was the 63rd anniversary of Nigeria's independence, and I was going through my Instagram where I saw like a content calendar for the month, what you should do, and they like celebrate International Coffee Day, and I was like, that's interesting. So I decided to talk about IP in relation to coffee. So we already know that intellectual property law is like a set of rules and regulations that govern the creation, ownership, and use of intangible assets born out of human intellect, such as design, work of art, trademark, copyrighted work, and they must be used in commerce. It must be commercialized. Now, IP law basically gives creators and owners of these intangible assets the exclusive right to control how is being used and benefit from them when they decide to either opt for a monetization model such as licensing, franchising, etc. And also the law also give them the right to prevent other persons from infringing or misusing this intellectual property that they have created. So like I stated in my introduction, this episode I'll talk to you about how you can use intellectual property law to protect your brand in the coffee industry. I'm going to explain the relevant types of IP and the coffee business, such as trademark, patent, copyright, trade secrets, and geographical indication. I may give you some examples, but I'll definitely share tips with you on how you can apply and enforce your rights in the real world. Okay, so let's start with trademark. Now, fun fact about trademarks and IP is trademark protects the name of your coffee brand, the word, logo, symbol, design that is affiliated to your brand, that also acts as a source identifier for your product, or if you render, or if you have like a cafe restaurant, so you basically just sell coffee. Sorry, I was saying cafe. You basically sell coffee in the market. So for instance, we have the Nespresso, which is like a famous trademark for coffee capsules and machines. Trademark helps you distinguish your brands and services from those of your competitors. You also get to build loyal fan base. And in order for you to succeed at this, you need to register your trademark with the relevant authorities within your jurisdiction, because intellectual property is territorial in nature, and it's only the jurisdiction that you register your intellectual property that you can get to enjoy the full backing of the law, be able to enforce your right, be able to monitor how your work is being used within that territory. Now, I want to highlight two things when it comes to trademark. So let's say you own a coffee brand in Nigeria, and at that point in time you felt you didn't have enough funds to do a trademark registration, or, you know, like I always say, it's not your priority at that point in time, you know. But before you make that decision, you need to be aware of some form facts when it comes to unregistered trademarks, and that is for people that haven't considered registering their intellectual property or their coffee brand. Now, if you haven't registered your name, your brand name, your logo, your design, your slogan, you enjoy what is called an unregistered mark, especially if you've been doing it for about 5 years consistently, you've commercialized it consistently. Now, the owner of an unregistered mark enjoys a limited form of protection within Nigeria, but they're not entitled to the exclusive use of their trademark. You can only use TM on your mark, like the name of your brand, to indicate that this is an unregistered mark. However, this will not prevent other people from using the same name or similar mark. So it's advisable that you go ahead to actually apply, put in your application to trademark your coffee brand. You can also sue for thought of passing up but not infringement. And a thought of passing off is not easy to prove, because you need to show that you have established reputation or goodwill for your unregistered mark, and that the other party is basically misrepresenting your goods or services, and you have also suffered some sort of damage. Another thing to note is that when it comes to a registered mark, is kind of difficult for you to enforce it against another person who has registered the same or similar mark, because the owner of a registered mark has the right to sue you for infringement and stop you from using that unregistered mark, even if you've been using it longer than them. And one other thing again you need to know is that for us in Nigeria who apply the first to file system, this is what your story is going to turn out to be. So you can see that from all of these things that I've listed, you might end up losing your brand identity, your market share, your competitive edge, if someone else registers or uses your mark without your permission. So it's advisable that you register your trademark as soon as possible. However, when you now want to apply for your trademark registrations, there are certain mistakes you need to avoid making. Number one on the list is that if and when you do want to apply for your trademark registration, you need to conduct a thorough search before submitting your application, so that your application is not rejected or opposed, or someone doesn't come and slap you with an infringement law. So step one, do a search to ensure that the mark you wish to register in that particular class is available. Number two is that you need to choose the right class or classes that match your goods or services. And if your description is too vague, broad, then the registry may object to your registration, and that may also delay your trademark registration application. So I think the case that comes to mind was the August Sabinus case that trended last year, where he was alleged to have made his application in a wrong class. You know, so that's some of the things. But then there are defenses that you can put up for such blunders. thirdly, that you need to submit samples to show that, okay, you intend to use this mark for X and commercialize it, such as your packaging, your label, your website, advertising, etc., etc. You also need to refrain yourself from choosing a name or a logo that is, so a name that is generic or descriptive or deceptive or misleading. So sometimes when I consult with clients, I usually ask them, why did you have to go for this name? You know, just to get your train of thought as okay. So you understand that you need to come up with a very distinctive name in line with Section 10 of the Nigerian Trademark Act, which says that in order for you to do a trademark or for you to own a trademark, you must be capable of distinguishing and also being distinctive in nature. And then you're not allowed to register a similar or identical mark, a mark that has the name of a chemical, a mark that is contrary to public policy or morality, something like that. But yeah, alternatively then, you know, when I talked about the search stage, what the law provides is that you can also do a letter to the trademark registrar stating that you need his opinion to tell you, okay, I want to make this application. Please tell me if this mark I wish to use qualifies under the law, if it meets the basic criteria or eligibility under the law. Saves you money. But, you know, then again, I already talked about the first to file principle, so it's very important that you file your trademark as soon as possible. Then consider indicating the status of your trademark when I talked about using TM and R in a circle. So TM will indicate that you have an unregistered mark. R in a circle will indicate that you've registered your mark. While SM will indicate that you have a service mark. Now, after registering your trademark, it's very important that you continue to use it. Else, someone else can apply to the registry to cancel your registration for failure to use it for commerce. So in Nigeria, your first registration gives you 7 years protection. Afterwards, is renewable consecutively for another seven. Failure to do this means you can lose your registration. So it's very crucial and important that you monitor the market, your jurisdiction, so that people are not trying to play a fast one on you at the end of the day. What else? Right. You need to also have an idea of the various types of trademark, including word marks, design mark, sound mark, motion mark, color mark. You know, this can impact your registration process. So for instance, if you're using like a word mark, it's very crucial to avoid using any styles, font, color, graphics when filing. So interestingly, another act a lot provides that you can register your mark in any color. I mean, because I had spoken to a trademark examiner one time, and I was like, what are the possibility of actually getting like a trademark registration for color? And I was like, well, that's going to be really difficult, really, really difficult. So sometimes when you're applying, you just put it in black and white, or just, you know, to emphasize that it doesn't really matter. So I think the law did its best to take care of that. And I also know the technicality involved in examining color to determine whether, okay, if someone sees the shade of pink, and then there's the I think it's called Pantone. I follow them on social media. They have color themes for each year. There you will see different, so red in different shades. All of you guys to compare when you get Ashebi colors, please. It's not our fault. It's not our fault. Onion purple, very important. What brand uses onion purple? Do you get my meaning now? Yeah. So I would say, with regards to trademark, registering it to help you prevent other people from also registering a similar identical mark that can harm your business. Then again, also prevents any form of likelihood of confusion or deception amongst your consumers. Trademark issue, when you're talking about coffee now, there's also the cultural and religious aspects. You know, there was this case between Ethiopia and one other jurisdiction with regards to coffee. I think it was Ethiopia and Starbucks. I don't know. Let me confirm. Or if I do not confirm that before the end of this episode, please shoot me an email to ipseriesinfo @gmail.com, and I will do my best to respond to you guys. Okay, guys, so I actually found the story. I just wanted to be sure that I was giving you the right fact. So turns out that sometime in 2006, the Ethiopian government and aid agency Oxfam were accusing the US coffee chain Starbucks of blocking their attempt to obtain trademark for its best known beans, Sidamo and Hara. I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right, but they finally settled that they were going to get into a license arrangement with Ethiopian government to promote the Hara, Sidamo and Yiga Chefe designation in markets where trademark exists, as well as so the Ethiopian government reached an agreement via a settlement. So it was a licensing dispute between the Ethiopian government and the US coffee chain Starbucks. So you can just take like Google it to find out how this story started and how it ended and what are the potential for it. Now there's an interplay of the geographical indication elements of this story, which I will not discuss in detail, but I'm going to talk about it. So the Ethiopian coffee is listed as a GI, and that's because when you're talking about GI focuses on the unique elements surrounding the specialty of the coffee production in Ethiopia. So that's what makes the GI registration suitable than other forms of IP protection. Now, under that, you also have the certification system that coffee makers can or actually explore. Now, the trademark strategy that the Ethiopian coffee faced in 2006 was that the United States Patent and Trademark Office had approved the application to register Yiga Chefe, but the National Coffee Association representing the roasters of the United States objected to that registration to trademark first Hara, then Sidamo, on grounds that the names had become too generic. It was a description of coffee, and as such, were not eligible for registration under the U.S. trademark law. So the USPTO turned down the application for Hara in 2005 and Sidamo in 2006. Now, Starbucks at that time offered to assist in setting up a national system of certification mark to enable farmers to protect and market their coffee as a robust geographical indication. Sorry. They also agreed to sign a voluntary trademark licensing agreement, which immediately acknowledged Ethiopia's ownership of the Hara, Sidamo and Yiga Chefe names, regardless of whether or not a trademark registration had been granted, you know. So after acquiring the trademarks, Ethiopia initiated a royalty fee licensing scheme, and the purpose was to secure recognition from the coffee distribution industry that Ethiopia owns and controls the use of the trademark. So they are Hara, Ethiopian fine coffee, Yiga Chefe, Ethiopian fine coffee, and Sidamo, Ethiopian fine coffee. Now, remember when I talked about how one of the mistakes that brand make is using misleading trademark in the application. So imagine that someone writes or apply to trademark Sidamo, Ethiopian fine coffee in Nigeria, when they are not actually the right trademark owner. You're going to be misleading people, thinking that, okay, it is actually an Ethiopian fine coffee. So adopting the royalty-free license agreement required that the licensee will sell the specialty coffee using the registered trademark free of charge on any product that consists solely of Ethiopian specialty coffees, and also promote Ethiopian fine coffee. So at the end of the day, like this licensing strategy boosted customer recognition, and by mid 2009, almost 100 license agreements had been concluded with coffee importing, roasting, distributing companies in North America, Europe, Japan, and South Africa. Now, another thing we have to consider again is branding. You know, I think what you're talking about, Trigon, I think for coffee makers and those in the coffee industry, trademark is like your most... So it's kind of like when I say, if you're in the creative sector, copyright applies to you. So if you're in the coffee industry sector, trademark is the first type of IP that you should take into consideration. Now, because of this high profile dispute between Starbucks, with Starbucks, it also now helped increase the popularity of Ethiopian tea. You get. So, I mean, it wasn't a bad thing, but then again, it helped throw light and, you know, created awareness that, okay, so that Ethiopia happens to have its own variety of coffee beans that are really unique, you know. So looking at the post online, someone says, I learned from the Coffee Farmers Corporation and Exporters just 3 months ago that the price of Yiga Shefe had increased from 0.60 cents to $2 a pound. And that was as at 2000 and what? So imagine what the exchange rates would be presently. Business result, this initiative helped Ethiopia to differentiate the Ethiopian coffees from coffees of other jurisdictions. It also strengthened the confidence and bargaining position of the coffee growers and exporters in the country. And also looking at the AFCFTA agreement, I think this is also going to serve as a good example, especially in light of the protocol on intellectual property and protocol on dispute resolution. So our next IP that we're looking at is patent, and patent is considered to protect the functionality of an invention. And when you're talking about the interplay with the coffee, for coffee entrepreneurs, it's kind of complex but also very important. One thing you should know that is not all coffee related inventions are eligible for patent protection. Some tips that coffee entrepreneurs can take is, first, just like for trademark, you conduct a search to make sure that your invention is novel and not obvious to a skilled person. Consider the scope and duration of patent protection, which lasts for 20 years, whether it covers your invention. Make sure you engage a professional patent lawyer or law firm to draft and file your application, especially the claim, which is a bit technical. Monitor the market for any potential infringement of your patent. Keep track of your patent maintenance fee. And what else? Yeah, I think that basically sums up the patent relationship when it comes to coffee entrepreneurs. But know that as a coffee entrepreneur, you can opt for a multi-layered IP protection. So you're not just focusing on one IP and then you keep the other part open to infringers to be able to take advantage of. But yeah. Make sure that you meet the patentability criteria, which is novel, inventive, useful. When someone infringes on your patent, that means they use or make or sell without your consent, you have the right to take the person to the Federal High Court and sue them for damages, or you can opt for alternative dispute resolution mechanism to be able to enforce your rights and also preserve whatever relationship. So if you see, let's look at the Starbucks Ethiopian coffee dispute. Now, they opted for ADR and ended up considering a voluntary licensing arrangement. So all cases are not the same. So you might just decide to pick whichever one you feel works best for you, or will be able to help your brand get things over with. Sometimes people, when you're talking about this resolution, people might decide to consider the various factors in terms of how bad the dispute is, if it's going to affect their business, etc., etc. But yeah, I think that covers the patent angle that coffee entrepreneurs should consider. Did you know that plants have IP too? They also enjoy intellectual property protection. So IP protection in coffee are not just limited to equipment manufacturers, roasters, but they also include the coffee growers, people that plant them, that harvest them, that watch them grow from seed to, you know, so they also enjoy what is called the breeder's right protection or plant variety protection, which grants them the exclusive right to produce the coffee beans, to sell the coffee bean, to also use a new plant variety. And this is beneficial to coffee entrepreneurs because it helps them develop and market their own unique coffee beans. It also helps them to stand out in the market. However, there are some challenges that may come with it in terms of cost and time involved in applying for or maintaining the protection. So subject to the Nigerian plant variety protection act, I think protection for vines and trees it was separated. I don't want to mix them up because I'm not with the law right now. But there's a specified term of duration. There's also a process and criteria that a plant breeder for, say, coffee bean now in this scenario would have to meet, which is that is novel, is distinct, is uniform, it's stable as well. That is the new variety in question. There's also the risk of infringement or misappropriation by competitors or third parties. There's potential impact on biodiversities and farmers' rights. However, for those who are interested in, that is coffee entrepreneurs who are interested in breeders' right protection, they should consider carrying out a research on the existing varieties and the market demand for this new variety. You also need to seek professional advice from experts in plant breeding, intellectual property, and the coffee industry. Collaborate with other breeders, researchers, organizations to share resources and knowledge, document your breeding process and the characteristics of the new variety in detail, and then register that new variety with the relevant authority and then monitor its use and distribution. So you see how detailed all of these IPs are. You just need to make your inquiry. That's potential, and there's money to be made for everyone, including me, who is an IP professional. So the next IP I will be delving into is geographical indication, which I classify as a non-popular type of IP, especially within Africa and Nigeria, because we don't have a law yet. Though there was a public hearing for a geographical indication bill last year that took place in Abuja and also a conference, but we do not have any law presently in Nigeria. So anyone who wishes to explore this can now opt for the certification angle under the Trademark Act. So a GI basically identifies a product or that's stating that it originates from a specific region or country, or where it has certain qualities or characteristics that are linked to its origin. So for instance, our Ethiopian coffee. Yeah, so that's an example. And it's also a good valuable tool for coffee entrepreneurs who want to differentiate their products and protect their... Sorry if you heard that noise. I thought I put my phone on silence, but let me just do that now. Okay, done. Okay, it also helps increase market share. However, the process to maintaining GI involves some sort of challenges as well. There is the issue as to creating loyal customer base that are willing to pay a premium price for a product. So it's kind of like when someone says, I'm going to get champagne. Is it champagne? Sorry. Okay. Oh, you're trying to get Ofada rice or what's that? Ijebu gari. You know, you have to pay premium for it. also the cooperation amongst the producers, processors, traders, and other stakeholders in the value chain by creating a common identity and vision, promoting sustainable development and environmental conservation, by encouraging the preservation of local resources, traditions, biodiversity. There's also the issue as to cost of GI protection. Because we don't have one in Nigeria, and I've never been part of a committee or team that have applied for a GI protection under jurisdiction, but then you still have to pay fees, you have to, demand infrastructures, equipment, training, marketing, quality improvement to meet the GI requirements, etc., etc. So if you are interested in obtaining a GI for your product, I think the best bet would be to engage the relevant stakeholders, the agencies, IP agencies, the government, people within that sector, to come together and create like a standard for your jurisdiction, because GI protection can be a very powerful strategy to enhance the value and competitiveness of coffee products. But also requires commitment, coordination, and adaptation from all the actors involved. Now, I'm going to talk about the difference between geographical indication and trademark, as they are two different types of intellectual property rights that I have mentioned that's used to protect coffee product. Now, GI is a label that identifies a product originating from a particular region, while trademark is a sign that distinguishes the product or services. So GI applies to collective group of producers or stakeholders who share the same origin and characteristics of the product, while trademark belongs to an individual or legal entity who owns the sign. GI is based on the reputation and recognition of the product and its origin, while trademark is based on the distinctiveness and goodwill of the sign. GI cannot be transferred, licensed, or sold to a third party, whereas you can transfer, license, and sell a trademark to a third party. GI can be registered for products that have a natural or human link with specific geographical area. While trademark can be registered for any product or service that can be distinguished by a sign. So if you are a coffee entrepreneur, you need to verify by engaging an IP lawyer to tell you the right form of IP to choose, whether it's going to be GI or trademark, or you should use both depending on your objectives, your resources, your market opportunities. GI and trademark complements each other by creating a very strong and consistent identity for the product and enterprise. So I'm going to round up. So we have one more IP that we need to consider. I was going to talk about packaging and labeling, but I think I might just leave that for later. But yeah. Last but not the least, copyright. Now, copyright protects original work of authorship that you create, such as your website content, your marketing content, product label. So the Nigerian Copyright Act provides that as long as your work is in a fixed or tangible format, it doesn't matter the quality of the work, your work enjoys protection. Now, in the event where you're uncertain as to whether or not you should register your work, the law doesn't mandate it, but it says you may register your work in the event that, so if something happens, you need proof of documentation to show that you're the real author, you can go to them and they'll write out, they'll give you a certified true copy of your deposition to tender as evidence, documentary evidence. And the law also makes provision for takedown proceedings whereby someone either uploads, say, your marketing material or copies or plagiarize your website content. You can reach out to the Nigerian Copyright Commission and make an application for a takedown notice. There's also, well, I think that doesn't apply to this anyway. I was going to talk about the technological protection measures, but then that's another way that copyright owners can explore, especially now we have ease of reproduction of copyrighted materials. Easy for someone to just, share your videos, share your image, even remove your watermarks, all of those things. So register your work, understand. So if you're not going to opt for a licensing, it has to be written. Enforce your right, take actions against any infringer if you're based in Nigeria as a coffee maker or coffee entrepreneur. The Federal High Court has jurisdiction to hear your disputes. Use clear and visible notices on your work, such as the scene, a circle, your name and the year of creation, to inform other people that you own the copyright. You need to also monitor the market and internet for any unauthorized use or copying of your work. Challenges, again, like I said, the digital era, ease of reproduction, access, copying, sharing, the cultural and historical significance of coffee may limit your creativity or originality in some aspects of your work, such as the name, symbols, images. And then international differences and complexity of copyright laws may make it difficult or even costly for you to protect your work across different countries. I hope this helps you understand more about copyright protection for coffee entrepreneurs. So yeah, we're getting ready to round off. Last but not the least, copyright. Now, copyright protects original work of authorship that you create, such as your website content, your marketing content, product label. So the Nigerian Copyright Act provides that as long as your work is in a fixed or tangible format, it doesn't matter the quality of the work, your work enjoys protection. Now, in the event where you're uncertain as to whether or not you should register your work, the law doesn't mandate it, but it says you may register your work in the event that, so if something happens, you need proof of documentation to show that you're the real author, you can go to them and they'll write out, they'll give you a certified true copy of your deposition to tender as evidence, documentary evidence. Then the law also makes provision for takedown proceedings whereby someone either uploads, say, your marketing material or copies or plagiarize your website content. You can reach out to the Nigerian Copyright Commission and make an application for a takedown notice. There's also, well, I think that doesn't apply to this anyway. I was going to talk about the technological protection measures, but then that's another way that copyright owners can explore, especially now we have ease of reproduction of copyrighted materials. Easy for someone to just share your videos, share your image, even remove your watermarks, all of those things. So register your work, understand. So if you're not going to opt for a licensing, it has to be written. Enforce your right, take actions against any infringer if you're based in Nigeria as a coffee maker or coffee entrepreneur. The Federal High Court has jurisdiction to hear your disputes. Use clear and visible notices on your work, such as the scene, a circle, your name and the year of creation, to inform other people that you own the copyright. You need to also monitor the market and internet for any unauthorized use or copying of your work. Challenges, again, like I said, the digital era, ease of reproduction, access, copying, sharing, the cultural and historical significance of coffee may limit your creativity or originality in some aspects of your work, such as the name, symbols, images. And then international differences and complexity of copyright laws may make it difficult or even costly for you to protect your work across different countries. I hope this helps you understand more about copyright protection for coffee entrepreneurs. So yeah, we're getting ready to round off. Okay, IP friends, we are wrapping up in a bit. But before I do that, here are a few proactive and strategic steps that coffee entrepreneurs need to do to be able to secure and strengthen their intellectual property rights within the industry. One is they need to identify the IP asset that they have. And when they identify the type of IP they have, they may now value it and understand the importance of each IP asset for their business, such as the ones I listed: trademark, patents, geographic indication, separate, that's right. I didn't mention trade secret, and I don't even know why, but deets about trade secret is it gives you commercial edge in the market, where you have to take measures to protect that confidential information regarding your coffee business. So how you process your coffee, who has access to the factory, who are your manufacturers, who are your suppliers, all of those things. I should have mentioned it, but yeah, let's just take it that we're identifying another type of IP asset right now. Then you need to consider registering your intellectual property rights with the relevant authorities, such as the national IPOs or regional IPOs. You now also need to engage the custom officers to be able to track and monitor counterfeited coffee products that will be coming into your jurisdiction or another jurisdiction. When you register your IP rights, you get to enjoy the exclusive right to use it, to exploit it, to prevent other people from also using it without your consent, permission, and authorization. It can also serve as evidence of ownership and priority in cases of disputes or infringement. You need to also have a monitoring and enforcement team that will monitor the market and activities of competitors, customers, suppliers to detect any possible violation or misuse of your intellectual property right. Now, you enforce your IP right by taking actions such as sending cease and desist letter, filing complaints, initiating lawsuits, or seeking alternative dispute resolution mechanisms such as negotiation, mediation, arbitration, or experts determination. Enforcement can help you stop the infringement, recover damages, and deter future IP violation. And then again, finally, manage and leverage your intellectual property rights. You need to develop a strong IP strategy that aligns with your business goals and strategy and reflects your vision, your mission, your values. Consider ways of exploiting your intellectual property rights, such as licensing. For instance, the Ethiopia, I think I'm going to be referring to this case throughout. I've referred to it throughout my conversation. But yeah, the Ethiopia Starbucks relationship, the voluntary licensing, is a good example of how coffee entrepreneurs can exploit their intellectual property rights. There's also franchising, where brands, big brands like Starbucks, might decide to give a franchise to another company that wants to start up within their jurisdiction. Then you can partner with locals in terms of producing and you know, manufacturing, selling, donating. Just leverage all of your intellectual property rights to expand your market reach, diversify your income streams, and enhance your coffee reputation. Yeah? Yes. And so episode 115 has come to a conclusion. I hope I was able to answer some of your questions as to how important it is to use intellectual property to protect your brand in the coffee industry. You now also know the relevant IPs to consider and the importance to have IP lawyers like myself on your team. Now, thank you once again for listening to me talk about IP. See you in episode 116, and don't forget to share with your loved ones and have some coffee today with lots of milk on my behalf. Cheers, guys!